Welcome to a special pitching edition of the Big Pod Machine on the ground in Arizona for spring training. We're about a week into Cincinnati Reds spring training. I'm Gordon Whitmire. This is Pat Brennan. Special guest, Derek Johnson, pitching coach of the Reds. We got a lot of questions for you, DJ. Go ahead, Pat, because I know something's on your mind.
DJ, for the amount of time that you've spent in the Valley, plying your trade, have you ever encountered snakes?
No.
Not once.
One time. I take that back. I was visiting Apache Junction with my kids when they were young, and we decided to walk into this little barn thing, and there were three rattlers just kind of hanging out. So that was the only time. We walked back out.
You went inside this building and there were three rattlesnakes?
They were on the other side of the building, thankfully. Yeah, thankfully, and we walked right back out.
This guy has been done nothing but talk about rattlesnakes ever since we got down here. He was here all last year. We didn't see any damn snakes. How many years have you been coming down?
Oh, gosh. 15?
And you had to go all the way out to Apache Junction to see any once.
That's right. Yeah, I think you're going to be okay, man. Snakes.
You're going to be fine.
I think you're going to be okay.
You think?
I do.
Okay.
I'm more worried about scorpions.
Oh, man.
That doesn't make me feel any better. Any better at all.
Yeah, they'll crawl up in bed with you.
Hey,
get me out of here.
I've had a few of them. Let's move on to some pitching questions. The stuff that everybody's talking about back home, in fact, I just got asked about it on a radio show today. Your rotation, man, you got like these four veterans coming back. Two of them are all-stars, Hunter and Andrew Abbott. You got Singer and you got Lodolo. But then you got these kids, man. Chase Burns, Rhett Lauder. We know what Rhett did a couple of years ago. He's healthy again, right? Burns, 10 strikeouts at a time last year. And then you got Williamson back from injury. Like, how does this play? How do you pick five out of that group?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you obviously have to make that decision, and there's some things that go into it, some of which was health from last year, and, you know, you actually left out Aguiar, who helped us too. So, you know, I hate to say that we have an embarrassment of riches. I don't ever think that you should say that in baseball, because just things happen way too fast. But, I mean, on the other side of it, we do have more depth than we've had in quite some time. And, you know, again, some of these decisions will be based around what happened last year, what we think they need for this year. And it's like anything else. I mean, you never go through a season with the group that you started with. You know, there's always going to be a turnover because of injury or whatever. And then, you know, you have that second tier of guy that comes in and hopefully can do a good job for you and win you some ball games. So we're really excited about the depth we do have. It's just a fact of like putting it together.
I just had a follow-up to that because you made me think of this. With the young guys in particular and maybe the injury guys, could workloads be an issue where, okay, you know, we've got enough guys that somebody doesn't have to go every 5 days all season?
Yeah, you know, I've kicked the tires on a six-man, and Tito and I have talked about it just very briefly. And it sounds great on paper for those same reasons that you just mentioned, but I think on the other side of it too, then it takes a guy out of your pen, and you know, especially early in the season, that's where you can get really short with the bullpen. We don't have a ton of optionable pitchers in the bullpen either, so that does make it a little bit more difficult to fathom a six-man idea. But you know, like I said, we kicked the tires on it. We'll see, you know, as we move through camp, kind of where it sits and if it makes sense. We have the day off right after the opening day. We have another one 5 days later, so I'm not sure it makes sense right off the bat, but then you start getting into those longer stretches and, you know, maybe it does.
DJ, with Brandon Williamson, Gordon and I were talking last night about what, if any, factor the TJ surgery might play in just what kind of, you know, Terry Francona was talking today about you guys are looking at him as a starter.
Yeah.
But if a moment came in the season where you might pivot to a could there be a moment in the season where you pivot to a bull
kid? We've talked about that too. With him being left-handed, there is a downside to it. We do have a few lefties in our bullpen right now, and that might not shake out. I think two of them are going to shake out for sure. We may add that third, and then it gets crowded with lefties, and you're not sure that that's maybe the right place that you want to take it. If he were ended up being the third and he was a bulk guy, you could really see it being beneficial in a lot of different ways. Number one, he's pretty good. And if he could eat two and three innings at a time for us from the left side and right stretches of the, right stretches, right teams of the lineup. And, it sounds pretty cool. It's a good possibility. I don't see that doing that with Rhett. Although I've kicked the tires on that thought too and wondered if that might not be a bad thing. So I guess the good part is there is some flexibility, which we just haven't had a whole lot of that, really. Like, we've always kind of been stuck in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Some people have brought up that Burns is such a power pitcher, such a strikeout power pitcher. Boy, he'd be great at the end of a bullpen. Well, that might be nice, but we hate to punt on that on the start.
Yeah, that's the toughest thing to do with a young guy. I mean, you look at a guy and you think, well, he might be a bullpen guy, but you're basing that on the way he looks when he pitches. You're not looking at it in any other way, shape, or form. I mean, Graham Ashcraft was a guy who, he did show that he could pitch deeper into games at times. There are also times when he couldn't really get too many people out for a while either. He just ran through stretches. And at the end of the day, I think we made the right decision with him. I think if you're talking about a 22-year-old kid, who has that kind of ability, and you put the round in him, you picked it first. I think it'd be really tough to walk away from.
I think Graham got 3 years once he reached the big leagues to make a go of it, too.
Yeah, he did. And again, like, there were stretches where he was magnificent, but then there are other stretches where he kind of struggled to kind of keep it together or put it together.
I'd love to press you on some insight, early insight into the competition for that five spot, because as I understand it from talking to some of the guys involved, that competition, you guys aren't into Cactus League play yet, but live BPs, that's obviously been ongoing for more than a week now. I think in the minds of the guys involved, the competition is very much underway, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I mean, they obviously know one another. They've been teammates at other places.
Yeah.
And so it does make a lot of sense that there's competition there. And you know what? To me, that's the best way you could ever have a camp. Like, that's the best way you could run a camp, is if there's actual competition and there is something at stake. You're going to see really good performances from a lot of guys because they do have that kind of heightened awareness of, hey man, I got to get going now.
Yeah.
So it's good. So it's never a bad thing.
Yeah.
While we're still on the subject of the rotation, Pat talked to Hunter, I want to say first day of camp, did a story on him talking about what some of his goals are. And we know that there were some rumors in the offseason, maybe partially from the media, about, should they trade him? Should they try to trade him to get a hitter? That kind of thing. So he went through a little bit of that. But as he comes to camp, off of the injury, healthy, he's talking like he didn't last year about opening about 30 starts, about 180 innings. Last year, he wouldn't go there when I asked him about goals. Is there anything different in him?
No. I mean, it's funny you say that because he's always talked about that to us, at least internally.
Yeah.
And it's been a goal of his, and certainly, is a goal of mine. Like, we have to figure out how to get those guys through a full season.
Yeah.
And we're coming closer with, with kind of all of them. If you look at Lodolo, you look at Abbott, they missed some time last year, just not nearly as much. Hunter, it really started off going well, and then it just had that little break. And, that little break kind of turned a little bit longer than what we all thought. So, my goal every year is, how can we figure out how to get these guys? And it's not, I don't feel like it's anything that we're doing wrong. I don't feel like it's anything with our training staff or any way that we're throwing them or anything like it. I think it's like anything else. These guys have been predisposed to injury, and you know, sometimes injured players keep getting injured. And you see that on the position player all the time, side all the time as well.
Does he, has he looked to you coming into camp?
Really good. Yeah, I mean, you know, just the comment that I've made kind of over and over about all of them is they all look like they're in pretty good shape and they're definitely in good throwing shape. And what a, that's a great, great, great place to start. You know, there are times guys come in, they look a little bit heavier or they just don't look like they're in baseball shape yet.
We're not talking about Zach Maxwell.
No, I mean, you can't really talk about Zach Maxwell that way. He just kind of got to be the big bird that he is. But at the same time, like, they're all in really good throwing shape, too. Yep. You can see their throwing fitness is there, and that's a huge piece.
I just quick follow up on Hunter. He pitches in that opener. It's, you know, this team, this group finally got a shot at the playoffs last year. Right. Of all places, it's Dodger Stadium. Sure. It's the $800 million juggernaut or whatever the hell they're paying those guys now. And that's hometown for Hunter. He goes in there. It didn't go like he wanted. Right. What do you think that does for him in particular coming into this year?
I think it might be less than you think. Like, historically, he's pitched well there. You know, so I don't think I can blame it on him being home. I think you can sort of point towards the idea that a lot of these young guys just haven't felt that playoff kind of feel. You know, they just haven't experienced it. And so I've seen it over and over again. You know, the guys who haven't seen it, it's a different feeling for them. So I think if nothing else, like, he'll just be able to understand, okay, I have felt it. I know what this is. I also know, like, I'm going to stay the same. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to focus when I need to focus. So I think he'll use it in that way more so than like any sort of motivator or anything like that.
It's like the rest of the guys, they know, okay, this is what happens to your adrenaline. This is how I have to breathe.
Yeah. You could really tell, Luxie and Trevino were playing at a different level than the rest of our dudes were, like, and I'm not saying they were playing better, you know, I don't mean it that way, but you could just tell, like, they both been there a lot and, you know, they knew exactly how to kind of fly their butterflies in formation, if you will. And they just kind of, it was a different look from those guys.
Do you expect that playoff experience? You know, last year there was a lot of talk about the guys that were in the team with playoff experience, how valuable that was for a club that hadn't been in a while.
Right.
Now the bulk of this group not only has that experience, but went through it together. I mean, how does that manifest itself? Can it win you ball games?
I think it can. And yeah. I think, you know, it certainly, once you get there, it can galvanize, you know, at least what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're going to win necessarily, but I think it galvanizes the idea of like, hey, we've all been here. This doesn't have to be a big deal. We can just go play.
I have a quick follow up. To a comment you made earlier, DJ, and thank you again for your time.
Good.
I won't call this staff an embarrassment of riches because it sounds like that's taboo for you to do it. So I won't do it around
right.
you. But sorting through a group this talented, how would you compare that challenge to past jobs that you've had, different staffs that you've worked
with? Yeah.
Because it is a challenge.
It is, but there's also, you know, and you certainly want the best 13 guys that you can get.
Yeah.
But you also have to kind of play the long game in that too. And that means that, you know, the best 13 might not always be there on opening day. You think it would be, you know, in a fan's mind. Well, yeah, that seems, and probably even in your guys' mind.
We know minor league options.
But the options come into play. And then, like I said, the history and what happened to them last year might be what best suited for them. I think you have to factor all of that into the decision. And at the end of the day, that's what Nick and Brad do, along with Tito and some of our input as well. But I think at the end of the day, you look at it and you go, okay, what's the very best path for this club to take? You know, how can we keep guys in the mix long enough? Because again, like the options they play a big factor into that. Because, you know, one of the things that we don't want to do, if we can help it, is lose pitching along the way during the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate, but sometimes you do because, you know, a guy, he gets claimed. So it's really just, kind of using your brain in terms of what the long game will look like.
Yeah. Well, so this is, I think, the fourth year I've been around this club. As long as you've been around pulling the levers on this pitching staff, how many times have you, or has it happened, where you've come into camp and you've had the kind of depth that you're able to look at now? And if you wanted to, if somebody forced you to tomorrow, you could probably come up with 13.
Yeah. It's been a while. I mean, we've had some pretty good starting pitching here. We've had a couple of really nice, like what you'd call closers or into the game kind of guys. We've patched some of the rest of it together, you know, as we've had to go. And then, you know, when things, when some of our pitching went away, you know, we had to bring in some of these young guys, which I always thought, you know, even though I wasn't sure that they were ready, you know, bringing in young starting pitchers that you wish they got a little bit more time in the minor leagues, a little bit more seasoning, a little bit, you know, a few more innings under their belt. I honestly thought that there would come a time when it would really serve us well. And, you know, I don't know if this is the year that we're looking at that might come true, but, you know, it's just that Hunter has got experience in the big leagues that maybe on another club, he might not have gotten it at least that much. Same thing with Lodolo. It's really same thing with Abbott. You know, so there is that piece where, you know, I felt like even though we were playing him young, I felt like it was going to pay off. And I do think it will. Hopefully this year.
If we move away from the rotation for just a minute, I'm fascinated by Pierce Johnson and what he brings. And I think he gets kind of forgotten, maybe because he got acquired kind of late in the process. And we know what the back end looks like with Pagan and some of those guys. But this guy came in on a $6.5 million contract or something like that. And he's been around the block. He's done both things, had success. What's the ideal world for him in your mind? You've known for a long time.
I've known Pierce for a long time. I had him with the Cubs when he was a younger guy. And I think he'll do really whatever we ask him to do. I don't think there's going to be too much ego involved with that. That being said, you know, I do know he wants to pitch towards the back end of the game. He feels like he can pitch probably anywhere from innings 6 through 9, which, you know, I want every single one of our relievers to think that. I think it's the only way they should think. You know, I would definitely want to shy away from a guy who really didn't want to pitch the ninth. I mean, that seems a little counterintuitive for me to love the dude. But, you know, I think he'll fit fine. I think we have enough combination with lefty righty now that we can sort of interchange some of those parts, especially mid to later in the game. You know, and then knowing Tito and sort of how he operates too, like he's going to want to have roles. And, you know, last year when he would turn to me, I knew who he was going to ask me to get up. You know, it was just kind of that simple. And there was only maybe a couple of different times where he surprised me with who he wanted to get going. But, you know, I think that's another piece for these guys too. It's like once they establish, like they sort of know when they're going to pitch. And yeah. I think for most of them, it's really helpful.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day with Tito. I mean, just the fact that it's his second year for everybody in the building probably makes a big difference too.
Yeah.
DJ, my last question for you. You know, I the club and Nick were really transparent about at the outset of this offseason, this past offseason, I should say, bullpen construction being that of a rebuild. And I think, you know, that can be jarring for people to hear, even if it is the truth. And I think it was that. It's shaken out pretty well, as you've described so far, we think. Do you think I've heard it suggested that some people think this bullpen could be equal to the sum of the parts, or maybe even potentially at some point better than last year's bullpen?
You know, we've this has been something kind of fascinating to me. Like in the last few years, we've overachieved in the bullpen based on the personnel that we had. You know, like we always kind of found a way.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
You know, and we weren't expected to be that good, you know, and so everyone has the same questions every year. It's like, is your bullpen going to be any good? Is your bullpen going to be any good? And we address it probably more this off season than we have in quite some time. But a big part of that too was, you know, we re-signed Pagan, who's been here for the last couple of years. And, you know, like, yeah, we had to re-sign him, but it's like he never left. And then, you know, you pick up the Fergusons, you pick up the Burks, you pick up the Pierce Johnsons, you know, and all of a sudden you're looking at a little bit of a different complexion. You know that May and Maxwell are really, really close. Phillips really was good last year.
Yeah.
You know, so you have those guys too. And now it's like, but you don't have to force it if Luis May isn't quite ready.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
Pat, we can't get away from these damn monitors. Damn time we
do it. No, I mean, clearly it's part of
what we're here. Hey, I just, what's your Nick Martinez this year?
Yeah, I mean,
is there such an animal?
There's not very many dudes who are like Nick and then what he was capable of doing. So, I mean, you know, we did talk a little bit about Williamson in that aspect, or, you know, maybe being able to kind of be a hybrid type of guy. We're also talking about a guy who was injured last year too. So it's like, is he going to be like Nick? No, it'll be different. But, you know, I think whoever gets a guy like Nick Martinez, and it just happened to be Tampa, like, I mean, I can't tell you how fortunate we were last year in the last couple of years having Nick on board. Yeah. I mean, it just was such a, and he didn't care, you know, like if he started, cool. If he was in the pen, cool. Just tell me. That's all he wanted to know. Just communicate with me. But in terms of, like, who that is for us right now, I don't think we got that guy.
Maybe not a lot of people have the guy.
Right.
So indeed,
right.
He said it took him a lot of time in his career to get to that point.
Right.
But it sure as hell seemed genuine every time he was out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, as much pitching as you have in all the other roles, maybe you don't necessarily need it, Nick Martinez.
Yeah, hopefully not.
It's on the field.
Right.
Everybody needs one in
the clubhouse. Oh, yeah, off the field in the clubhouse, he was a dandy too. Like, that guy's kind of the complete package, and had a lot of fun. You know, just he actually taught me a lot. You know, I mean, yeah. As a player, he was very locked in, and just I really enjoyed being around him.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for the time, man.
Yeah.
Sorry about the lawnmower and the snake question.
Well, I think I'm going to go chew him out. So we'll see.
Good. DJ, thanks for the luck, buddy.
Yep, really appreciate it. All right. Bye. Yep, you got it.
That's it for this edition of the Big Pod Machine. Say hi to our damn lawnmower guy over here. He's apparently he's a regular guest now.
Yeah.
But we'll catch you next week. Thanks to our special guest Derek Johnson. There's good, great stuff on what is a very promising looking pitching staff this year. Congrats. My partner Pat Brennan. I'm Gordon Whitmire. Thanks again. Next.